creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky.
Well, that's the music. That means it's time for the Wild Things Show with your good buddies who like to hang out outside, Josh and Robert. And today we are talking about, hey, what are we going to talk about today, Robert?
I don't know. Let's talk about myths or folklore or something along those lines.
Yeah? Like you mean like if you kiss a frog, it'll turn into a prince?
Yeah, stuff like that.
So that happens, right? That's a real thing?
Absolutely, positively, no.
No? That doesn't happen? It's funny.
I'm not looking for a prince, so I couldn't be for sure, so I don't know.
Well, I guess if you kiss enough, maybe one turns into a princess. I don't know. I don't make a habit of kissing amphibians.
No, neither do I.
So I couldn't really tell you. You know, there's a lot of reptile and amphibian-based myths, and I think it's just because those animals are so foreign from us. They're so different.
I think it's because most people are afraid of them, too.
Well, yeah, sure, that factors in. Why not? So let's start with a couple of snake ones. One that I hear less now than I used to when I was a kid, which is that snakes or lizards have poison breath.
Poison breath.
Poison breath. They can literally breathe on you, and your finger will wither up and die.
Yeah. Yeah. I've only heard that, honestly, once, and I was a little kid when I heard it, so... But, yeah, it's totally inaccurate.
Well, you know, there were a lot more Florida old-timers here when I was younger. And yeah. I'm 40 years old this year, so we're dealing with a generation that seems to have mostly died out that believed that these things like this were maybe not necessarily true, but were at least possible. But like most myths, this one actually has some basis in reality.
Okay.
So let's take a look at something like a spitting cobra.
Sure.
Spitting cobra is as close as you're going to get to an animal that has poison breath. It does not have to bite you. It can open up its mouth, point it at you, and spray you with venom.
Yep.
So that's pretty close to poison breath, right?
It's pretty close, but I don't think those old timers had encyclopedias.
No,
let alone internet.
I don't think so. No, definitely not here in Florida. I think that we have cultural memories, though, of things.
Absolutely.
So you deal with something like this. Well, how does that get into the American mythos? Well, okay, look back into the 1700s and 1800s when we were still bringing slaves here from the old world.
This is true.
And they had spitting cobras in parts of Africa. So maybe you had myths among the slaves about these animals. They knew that there were spitting cobras. They start talking about snakes that can just breathe on you and you'll go blind or you'll die. And then that gets carried into stories that, you know, freak people out because, you know, snakes are scary.
That's true. I actually never gave that deep a thought, but...
There's almost always something.
Oh, yeah. No, there's definitely mostly, but I like that one a lot.
So, how about the one about if you cut off a snake's head, it will live for a day?
Yeah. Yeah, and the decapitated body will keep trying to bite you? Or will the head keep trying to bite you?
Yeah, the head keeps trying to bite you. The body will crawl away.
Because I've heard it both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also the slightly related myth about if a snapping turtle bites you and you cut off its head to get it to release you, it won't let go of you until it thunders.
Until it thunders.
Until it thunders.
I've never heard the reason why it would let go, but I've heard the part about cutting off its head. Yeah. I'm sorry, my finger's still attached there. I'm not sticking anything to cut its head off.
No, preferably not. I've only been bitten, well, you know, I say this like it's no big deal, twice by snapping turtles. They were both very young animals, so they didn't do any serious damage to me. But they did not bite and hold on. They bit, and then they let go.
Yeah.
So I don't know if snapping turtles normally bite and hold on and don't let go. I've been bitten by a softshell turtle that didn't want to let go, but I've also been bitten by a lot of softshell turtles because I used to catch a lot of them when I was fishing for catfish as a kid, that once they bit, they clamped and then they released immediately.
Right.
So
I've had more lizards than anything clamp and hold on.
Yes. Lizards are notorious for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a handful of those, but as far as snakes and turtles, no, not a great deal.
So, what do you think? How long do you think the snake's head will live for once it's been cut off?
I don't know, seconds.
I would venture to say that with the snake's physiology being so different from our mammalian physiology and knowing how little oxygen they need to survive, I would say if it's a clean cut that you could probably get a snake's head to live for 3 to 15 minutes. I would say that that's realistic.
I could go with that. But even if it's been dead for hours, if you're... Well, let's say if it's a rattlesnake, even though it's been dead for hours and you go in there and start playing around with it, the venom's still in there. And if you forcefully ram your finger into that tooth, there is potential for getting envenomated.
Right. Nail on the head right there, buddy. Again, looking for the sources of these myths. You've got an animal that its head probably will live longer than yours or mine when it's removed from the body. But the venom is going to be potent for much longer than that.
Absolutely.
And if you're handling that animal's head, you might say, well, it bit me. Well, because you don't want to admit that you were handling it like an idiot and you made
teeth.
It bite you. So
yeah.
You bit yourself with the head.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Great. Wonderful. Yeah. Excellent. Fantastic. Would you like to tackle another snake myth?
What about the one that rolls itself up like a hula hoop?
A hoop snake.
Yeah.
Let's find the basis for that one.
I'd be curious to know that one because that's
so
a bizarre one.
You know, I've looked into that one a couple of times, and I cannot find where that's supposed to have really come from, the myth of the hoop snake that bites its tail and rolls itself up. The closest thing that I can find is the Ouroboros symbol. You know what an Ouroboros is?
Yeah, I'm trying to visualize in my head. I know the name very, very well, but I'm having a hard time visualizing.
The image of the snake that's eating its own tail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is in a hoop shape.
Right.
So if you take that image and you separate it from what it's supposed to represent, a snake eating itself, you know, some kind of a self-digestion theme going on there, which is important to certain religions. But if you don't know what it's supposed to mean, then I guess it might look like a hoop snake. Right?
Well, your body does consume itself with time.
Yes. Yes. Are we talking about philosophy or anatomy here, or is this a Wild Thing show?
Well, like if you're starving yourself.
Yeah. That's how you get smaller, because your body consumes itself.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just going back to your religious thing, I'm not sure.
Okay. I didn't know if we were taking tangents or what.
Not at all.
It's a cycle of death but rebirth, because if you're eating yourself, you are killing yourself, but you're also nourishing yourself. So it's both of those things together.
Nice.
If you worshipped Egyptian gods, you would probably understand it better. It would make more sense to you.
Yeah, no.
It's not my fault that you don't.
Nope, sorry.
So I think that the hoop snake thing is just mostly a bunch of crap from people misinterpreting what they saw.
Yeah, I can see
that.
In
a drawing.
Yeah.
But the weird thing about that one is that it's one of the few that you get people who are absolutely 100% positively convicted certain that they've seen.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one that always cracks me up, is when you know for sure it's not only is it just totally inaccurate, but you know, like in some cases with certain things, you know, it's just physically impossible, but people will still tell you. It's like, yeah. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I saw that brick floating in the middle of the lake.
Well, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. And you didn't see a hoop snake rolling along.
Yeah.
Because the snake's body will not support itself in that shape.
Nope.
It just won't.
Nope. Can't do it.
Now, for another one. Another snake one, and then we'll move on to other things.
Okay.
This one is very popular in the southern United States these days. And I first heard it just a couple of years ago, but I see it a lot on Facebook where people will ask for snake identifications on snake ID pages. And that's the idea that copperhead snakes produce hybrids with other non-venomous snakes. And this is pretty specific, that these hybrids are actually in appearance identical to the non-venomous parent, but they have the venom of a copperhead.
Yeah. You explained that to me a while back, and I actually saw something that was questionably similar, and actually I think you might have been answering there.
I answer that question a lot.
Yeah.
I kind of seek it out, because it's just so bizarre to me that people think that this is the case. And I guess I don't know where the basis is for that one, other than the fact that people are afraid of venomous snakes.
They're just afraid of snakes, period. And that's their way of
it gives them
rationalizing the ability to want to dispatch of it. And
right. It gives them a quote-unquote reason to kill something that looks like a harmless black rat snake or a corn snake, because it might be one of them copperhead hybrids
right. That
hides its venom and then kills you when you're not looking. Yeah? Sneaky,
yeah.
Sneaky snakes.
Yeah.
Look, the thing is, it's just not possible.
It's all wolf in sheep's clothing.
You can hybridize certain snake species. Okay? That much is true. You cannot hybridize copperheads with pretty much any of the other snakes that you're going to deal with. Certainly not any non-venomous snake.
Yeah, I don't think you can crossbreed any venomous with non-venomous.
No, you definitely can't. Because not only are they very different physiologically, but even the biology of them is so different. Look at something like a black rat snake or a corn snake. Those animals have to lay eggs to reproduce. A copperhead gives live birth.
Right.
You can't hybridize two animals like that. I mean, how would they even be produced? It wouldn't work. It's just not going to happen. It's the animals are so distantly related. It would be like trying to hybridize a dog and, let's say, a raccoon. Can you make a dog coon?
Even a raccoon or
a rat dog?
Even a cat and a dog.
Yeah, it's just not going to work. You can try it. There was a cartoon called Cat Dog for a while. It was a cat on one end and a dog on the other end, but it was two heads, and they were just stitched together.
Well, not centipede. Never mind.
No, we're not talking about that. Forget it. Forget he even said it. Let's move on to other animal myths. Before we jump into mammals or anything, let's stick with our amphibian reptile kind of thing. Toads give you warts.
Yeah, you just touch them and all of a sudden you break out and you look like a leper. It's just,
you know, I really should be completely covered in warts for as many times as I've picked up a toad. And when I was a kid, my grandmother told me it wasn't just picking up the toad that would give you warts, it's when the toad pees on you.
Which is every time you pick one up.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. So I would go out intentionally and catch toads. And this is, if you're squeamish, don't listen to this part. And I would have them pee all over my hands. And I would show my grandmother the toad pee on my hands and then not
you
let her
tormenting
wash
your
it
grandmother,
off.
Didn't you?
Well, I love disproving this kind of stuff when I can.
You love disproving people in general, but
maybe.
If it's a family member, it's even more fun.
Yeah, I could have that tendency. But I wanted to prove to her that, no, you didn't get warts from toads. And sure enough, I did not get warts from toad pee all over my hands. It just never happened.
And technically, isn't a wart on a person actually like a fungus?
It's a virus.
A virus, that's it.
Yeah. You get warts from a virus, which you do not get from toads. You get it from other people.
Yeah.
So don't handle other people or you'll get warts.
Exactly. There you go. Start that one up on Bookface or whatever.
Yeah. You want to move away from reptiles and amphibians
sure.
and stuff? You want to stick with creepy things?
Oh, there's
things?
So many different things, though. Warm-blooded, cold-blooded, it doesn't matter.
There's a lot. There's a lot. Let's go to one that is just as creepy as any reptile, and that's bugs. People get super creeped out by bugs.
Okay.
You know what an earwig is?
Yep.
So what is the deal with earwigs and ears?
Story is that they crawl into your ear and build themselves a home and can wreck your eardrum and get into your brain and chew it all up and everything else, correct?
That's the story, yeah.
Yeah.
They do that, right?
Yeah, only in Star Trek.
Yeah, they don't do that at all. They didn't even do it in Star Trek. That was something entirely different, which we're not even talking about because this is not a Star Trek show.
Okay.
So, again, where did this come from? I have a hard time figuring this one out other than earwigs like dark places. So I guess it's possible that at some point an earwig crawled into someone's ear while they were sleeping.
And that's happened with a lot of different bugs over the years. You know, people have had cockroaches crawl into their ear and spiders and other things just because, guess what, you're laying down on their level. Let's say ground level, you're camping, or let's say you just got kicked out of your bed and the floor was more comfortable than the couch. That thing happened to crawl across. That's all it is. It was a warm, dark spot. That's all they want.
A warm, dark spot. That's all they need.
Yep.
And it's true for not just the earwigs, but for the spiders and everything else that's crawling around out there, you know. But but you never hear anybody blaming the silverfish for eating your brain.
Right.
Somehow it's just earwigs.
Yeah.
I think it's that pincher on their back. Nobody really knows what is the deal with that pincher there. What is it for?
What is the purpose of it?
I don't know what it's for.
They don't use
it
for eating.
I'm sorry to say, I really couldn't tell you. But they definitely don't use it for mining into your brain.
No.
That's not the purpose.
No.
They will pinch you with it if you pick them up.
Absolutely.
It doesn't really hurt.
Funny part is, I've never seen one down here.
No?
Uh-uh.
I see earwigs fairly frequently. Yeah. You need to spend more time digging around in lumber piles.
Oh, yeah.
They like those kinds of places.
I don't have that.
Yeah, you should look.
Yeah, nope.
So, would you like to move on to other creatures?
Sure.
What would you like to pick next? Do you have any ideas? Do you have any thoughts? Do you have any plans? What about bats?
I was just going to say, let's pick a flying mammal.
Uh-huh. I should have given you the chance.
Yeah.
I ruined it. I'll do it again. So, Robert, what should we move on to next?
Flying mammals.
Oh, great idea. Really good thought. I like that.
Yeah.
So, bats have a lot of negative publicity. you can start with
ton.
Ridiculously stupid ones, like they want to fly down and get caught in your hair.
Right.
You know.
Well, they run on, as soon as they land on the ground, they turn into a mouse.
Yeah. Which, you know that that's not true. You rescued one not that long ago, and it was still a bat.
I'm curious to know how he's doing, by the way.
He's doing fantastic, actually.
Did you ask her?
She posted a video on Facebook. I'll show it to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
He's a voracious little thing.
Nice.
Yeah. He did a good job. That.
Cool.
Most people
that
would
makes me feel kind of warm and fuzzy inside.
Not even thought twice about a bat on the ground. But you are the kind of person who would actually rescue it, get it to a wildlife rehab, and they said it was a little dehydrated, a little hungry, doing a lot better now.
Perfect.
Good
I
job.
I see that.
So why didn't it turn into a mouse, though, on the ground?
Well, I don't know. Because a mouse is a rodent, a bat is a mammal.
A bat is not a rat. That's why. Bats are not rodents in any way of the sense or form. So,
yeah.
Now, did you get rabies from the bat?
No.
Well, you should have, because don't all bats have rabies?
Yeah. Well, I also didn't handle it and get scratched or bit either.
Right.
Because obviously that animal's not naturally prone to walk across the ground. So something was wrong with it. So my instinct is that something, in some way, it was hurt. Whether it was physically, mentally, whatever. So the handling process was none. It was scoop it into a bucket as delicately as possible with a lid on it and hope that it made it.
Right. And that's smart. You just have to be smart about these kinds of things.
Sure.
But your bat didn't have rabies.
The chances of a bat having rabies, pretty slim.
Pretty slim. Even if you see it out there in a place where it shouldn't be, even if you see it out during the daytime, it probably does not have rabies. The percentage of bats that have rabies is pretty small. We're talking about a percentage of 1%.
Yeah, so, I mean, more people contract rabies from raccoons. Oh, what the heck's the other one? I can't remember now. Doesn't matter.
All right, you'll think of it later.
Yeah.
You'll tell us then, probably.
I figured you had it.
Well, I was in the middle of another thing, which was that I forgot to give the background for the myth about bats flying into your hair.
Okay.
Which is that you and I, when we go stand outside in the dark, we are insect magnets.
You think?
I do. You especially.
I know I am.
So they come hang out near us because we smell good, we're exuding carbon dioxide, and if the bats are actively hunting, which they usually are when you see them out there, it's not that uncommon for them to be drawn to the swarm of insects that's drawn to us. And more importantly, not necessarily to the mosquitoes themselves, because that's another myth on its own.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
But they're eating the things that are going after the mosquitoes.
Yes.
The predatory insects that are out there that are much larger. Those are what the bats really want to eat. Because bats, I mean, they're not that big on eating mosquitoes. Yes, they will eat them, but no, they're not going to eat just mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are too small. Bats have a huge, huge need for fuel. Their metabolisms are so high. And to be a flying mammal and, you know, fly around all night and that heartbeat.
That's not really a very good flying mechanism either. I mean,
it really
requires a lot of energy to get that skin to actually keep them in the air.
It is not efficient.
No.
So in order to keep it up, it takes a lot of energy. So no, they don't eat mostly mosquitoes.
I mean, are most of them, don't they, majority of their diet it consists of beetles and moths?
Yep, they're looking for something larger like that. And the ones that fly in the evening when the dragonflies are still around,
oh, yeah,
absolutely love dragonflies.
Yes, they do.
They compete actually with purple martins, which there's another animal myth for you, that purple martins eat mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, the myth comes about because they're trying to sell birdhouses to people. So a birdhouse company comes up with this idea of, well, how many mosquitoes could a purple martin eat without ever saying how many mosquitoes does a purple martin eat? So you take the average weight of what a purple martin eats in a day, divide it by the average weight of the mosquito, and you discover, hey, blammo, look at this. A purple martin could eat thousands of mosquitoes a day.
Yeah.
But they don't. Well, instead, they eat a few dozen dragonflies.
And that myth right there, it tells you how present it is. I was actually just talking to my mother the other day, and a neighbor in the other end of the neighborhood has put up a bat house and has bats in it. Well, the HOA wants him to remove it because it doesn't meet their criteria or whatever garbage that is. And he's claiming that the mosquito population is down so low in his neighborhood now, he's gotten all of his neighbors to sign a petition that they're seeing fewer mosquitoes in their yard because of his bat house, and they want to be able to put more up too.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that they believe that.
Which is a great argument to save bats. I love that idea.
But it's not really based on reality. You know, he may have fewer mosquitoes than he had before, and he may have more bats than he had before. That's a correlation. But correlation does not equal causality.
Right.
So just because the two trends move together doesn't mean that one is the cause of the other.
It's the dry season.
No, leave that part out of it. That does not fit our narrative.
Right.
Okay? We're here to make more houses for bats. Shut up.
Hey, I'm good with it. I thought it was awesome for that part of it.
Well, the same with the purple martins. And the thing about those is that people just, they don't realize that by putting up the purple martin houses to attract as many of those birds as possible, if you want to get rid of mosquitoes, what you're doing is you're bringing in the top predator of dragonflies, which are the top predator of mosquitoes. It really is kind of ridiculous. But again, the number of people who swear by it and say, you know, ever since I put up that martin house, man, the number of mosquitoes has really dropped.
Yeah.
It's our own confirmation bias that we believed that was going to be the case, and we see it that way.
Yep.
Speaking of bats, which we weren't because we had moved on, was your bat blind?
No.
No, of course he wasn't blind, because bats aren't blind. Bats see perfectly fine.
Yeah.
They just use echolocation to see in the dark in a way that you and I can't.
Right.
So I don't know why we think bats are blind, but they're not. It's ridiculous.
It's just kind of amazing how many different myths exist around one species.
Well, and again, like you said, species that scare us a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Bats are creepy. Bats fly at night. Bats are hard to understand. You look at a bat up close, their faces are weird, man.
Everyone seems like elephants. Are they really afraid of mice?
You know what? I don't know about that one. I don't think they are.
It just popped into my weird thoughts, just at the moment.
I don't know. I didn't have that one on my list. We didn't pre-discuss it.
I know.
How am I supposed to write it down and check it if we didn't pre-discuss it?
It literally just jumped
in. Just bringing up stuff that we haven't even talked about. Listen,
you're so knowledgeable on so many things. I figured that was maybe one of those weird little facts that you might have stashed in there somewhere.
I got more, but I need to touch on one real quick before we go, which is getting close. Sharks and their sense of smell. Okay? The idea that a shark can sense a drop of blood in the water from a mile away. I mean, come on, that's just ridiculous. Think about how much money we'd save on chum.
No kidding.
If that
Why
really
am I
were the case.
All this? Yeah. No.
It's a good sense of smell, but it ain't that good.
No. No, it's I don't even know how to discuss that one because it's just too far out there for me.
Okay, so we got to wrap this up real quick, but before we go, I want to tell you this. Lemmings do not commit mass suicide. That was made up by Walt Disney, and yes, they forced the animals over the cliff for the movie. Camels do not store water in their humps. They store fat. Fish do not have exceptionally short memories. They actually remember things pretty well, and mama birds will not reject babies over human scent on them. They absolutely have no problem with that. They will reject them if you are close by. They won't fly down, but it doesn't matter what they smell like afterwards. Robert?
I'm good with all that. That's pretty impressive.
Okay.
And that's only a touch of the list.
Oh, we could have done so much more. Oh, but yes, we don't have time because we have to wrap up the show.
People should look this stuff up for themselves and find out where it originated from, because that is fascinating to think about that stuff.
Goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Think I love you, but I wanna know for sure. Come on, hold me tight.